Good evening. In Exodus chapter 17, verses 12 through 13, it reads, "But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." And a central idea that we need to wrap our minds around this evening is a very simple idea. God's work is never carried by one man alone. It advances when brothers hold up each other's hands, and it fails when they do not. What we see here is that Israel is only weeks removed from the Red Sea, still learning to trust God in the wilderness, when Amalek attacks at Rephidim. And we see that in verse 8 of Exodus 17. And we see that Moses, he doesn't lead the charge with a sword. He goes to the top of a hill with the rod of God in his hand. We see that in verse 9 of Exodus 17. And that same rod that struck the Nile and parted the sea, the battle's outcome is tied to dependence on God, pictured in Moses' raised hands, verse 11. But what we fail to sometimes look at and see is that Moses is just a man. He's not a machine. He is flesh and blood like each and every one of us. His arms grow tired, left alone. The very leader God appointed would have failed in this moment. Not from unbelief, but from ordinary human weakness. But thankfully, we see that he did not fail because of the help that he received from Aaron and Hur. And so the question for this evening, who is holding up your hands, and whose hands are you holding up? And so we know that every servant of God grows weary. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 12a, it says, "But Moses' hands became heavy." Weariness is not a sign of weak faith. It's not. It is a sign of being human. We all grow tired. We all have hard days, hard weeks, where we can barely think, barely speak. We forget things. Everything's going wrong, and we just want the day to end. Even the greatest servants of God reached their limits. Elijah, fresh off the victory at Mount Carmel, sat under a broom tree and asked to die. We all know Elijah, what he went through. He went and faithfully went and delivered the message to Ahab and Jezebel. And then at Mount Carmel, after God showed that he was the one true God and consumed both sacrifices, Moses told the people, "Take these prophets down to the riverside and slaughter them." And that's exactly what he did, what they did. But when Jezebel got wind of it, she wanted Elijah. She wanted him gone. But not just Elijah, Paul. Paul admitted he was burdened beyond measure above strength, so that he despaired even of life. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul, and we know Paul very well. He wrote most of the letters that we study in the New Testament. Paul became a great instrument of God through that time. And even he grew weary. Even he grew tired. He was burdened. But Jesus himself, when we look in Gethsemane, asked his disciples to stay and watch with him, Matthew 26, 38 through 40. And we know that scene in the garden. I mean, Christ is praying. Christ, to a point, he's so stressed, he's bleeding, or sweating blood, excuse me. Even Christ himself grew weary. Even Christ himself broke down at times. Scripture never hides this reality. It prepares us for it. Have you noticed that? In Scripture, we see the reality of what servants of God go through. And have you ever wondered if that's preparing us for what we will face? And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. As well, two are better than one, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Let me tell you something, and I'm sure some of you have witnessed it in your time worshiping at congregations, maybe at one point being elders or deacons. Elders, preachers, teachers, parents, faithful members alike grow tired and well-doing, especially when we don't see the results, especially, and I've seen this in myself, when no one listens. You give advice, you give the best advice, godly advice. It does. When they don't follow it, it drives you, it frustrates you, it drives you crazy. It burns you out. And we can be burnt out in doing good. But recognizing this in ourselves and in others is the first step toward the kind of help Aaron and Hur gave. To recognize burnout, to recognize stress, frustration in ourselves, and more importantly in others. I remember at Hurricane, there's a man, and he has been put through the flames. He's been put through the grind. I remember I walked in, I think it was a Sunday evening, maybe a Wednesday night, and he looked at me and said, "You're burnt out, aren't you?" And I'm thinking, well, someone sees it. And I'm grateful for people like that who can see it and who can help. Because, once again, I'm flesh and blood. I have a lot on my plate, and so do all of us. But we need to understand them. We need to be like Aaron and Hur. And going to this, we have the brothers who step in without being asked. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 12b, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. Notice what the text does not say. Moses never asked for help. He never asked Aaron and Hur, and for some reason I want to keep saying Ben Hur. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. He never asked Aaron and Hur for help once. What we do see here is that Aaron and Hur simply see the need and they act. One on each side of him, sharing the weight of responsibility, sharing that burden. I mean, when we think about it, you know, we look at a stick, we look at a long stick, oh, it's just a stick, that thing's light as a feather. Try holding it up for hours. I don't care if you're a bodybuilder or not, you're not going to last. Because eventually that stick feels, after a while, like 10,000 pounds. And the same goes with this work that we do for the kingdom. When you place a lot of responsibility on one individual or maybe on a group of people, it will wear them down if you don't step in. These were not idle bystanders at all. Aaron, who would be the future high priest, Hur was a man of standing later, trusted to help judge Israel's disputes, Exodus 24:14. So these two men, once again, would have important roles down the line. Yet they do the humble physical work of holding up another man's arms. And notice the pattern within the body of Christ, that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 through 26. Members should have the same care for one another. And it is hard sometimes to see in people the struggles, the burdens, the burnout. It's sometimes, if you haven't been through it yourself, it's hard to catch it in others. It is. Because people who are burnt out, people who are checking out, they don't show the physical signs yet. They'll look at you, they'll smile, if you ask them how their week's gone, oh, it's went well. It's hard to pick up on these things, but we should try and see it and help and care for one another. We, being many, as one body in Christ and individually members of one another, Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. And then one text you have heard plenty of. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. In the Lord's church, and we need to remember this, in the Lord's church, there is no bench of spectators. Christianity, being a true disciple, we're not on a bench spectating. We're out. We're working, helping one another, and doing great things for the kingdom. That's what we are to be. We're not spectators. Every Christian is a part of a royal priesthood, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9. Not just those who stand in the pulpit, but supporting elders, preachers, and one another in the work of the Lord is every member's calling. Not a favor done for someone else's job. I've been at congregations that have, I'm telling you, when I say I did everything. That included serving, leading, singing. You know what that does over time? It does a lot of harm. And I've seen it in other preachers. I've seen the burnout. I've seen guys quit. One of my brothers that I graduated with preached at a congregation in Virginia. And, they were really nasty to him. And eventually he would step down and leave. He's now a member at the Carnes Church of Christ in Knoxville. But he told me, I had enough. I was so beat down. I was so discouraged. And it happens. But it doesn't just happen to preachers. It happens to elders. Elders have a lot of responsibility, spiritual responsibility. Shepherds of the flock. Deacons as well. And members. Being a member, you have a lot of responsibility as well. And it can eventually burn you out, doing good, doing everything. And so, once again, we must understand, we must be able to recognize this burnout. We need to recognize when our brother or sister is struggling and help them. Take some load off of them. It's important that we see this and that we help. Because if a congregation wants growth, it takes all of us. It takes all of us to be out in the community. It takes all of us in here, worshiping in spirit and truth, doing what God has called us to do, being faithful. It's all of our responsibilities. But sometimes, and actually I think it happens all the time, I believe it happens all the time, we forget our mission. We forget our purpose that God has given us. And that can lead to us neglecting our responsibilities. And so, steadiness brings victory. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 12c through 13, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, we know ultimately God promised this victory. But we see there are three kinds of service being done here. You have Joshua fighting in the valley, leading the people into battle. You have Moses interceding on the hill, and Aaron and Hur sustaining him there. You remove any one of those, they lose. That battle is lost, and they have to run. They have to retreat. When we look at James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Prayer works. We need to believe in prayer today. Prayer does a lot of good. Now, ultimately, God knows what's best. He will answer the prayer the way He sees fit, of course. But we can't deny the power of prayer, especially of a righteous man. It avails much. And then Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Steadfastness in the local church is rarely the product of one heroic effort. None of us can sit here and proclaim to be a hero of the congregation, because ultimately we really have done nothing. We don't come to worship an individual. We don't come to worship someone like us. We come to worship Christ. We need to understand it is the fruit of members quietly, consistently holding up each other's hands through prayer, encouragement, service, practical help, until the sun goes down on the battle. So if we are truly Christians, then what we will do is band together, help one another, and grow together, both spiritually and physically. That's what it takes. It takes that steadfastness for us to get to where we need to be. Without one another, we wouldn't survive. Most importantly, without God, we would not survive this life. We wouldn't survive the trials, the temptations that come our way. And so with that said, we know, looking here at the whole text, Exodus 17, verses 8 through 13, a weary servant, two willing helpers, a sustained victory. That's the whole lesson of Exodus here. And it is the design God still has for His church today. Like I said this morning, this is not history. This is a warning. This is helping us see, don't depend on yourselves. Don't think of yourselves. Don't be selfish. Help others. If you see someone in need, act. If you see someone being burdened down with all the workload, take some workload off. Pull our own. Be responsible. And so ask yourself this tonight. Whose hands need holding up in this congregation right now? An elder, a preacher, a grieving family, a discouraged Christian? So ask yourself, who in a congregation needs that support, needs that help? Will you be an Aaron or a Hur to help someone this week? And that's what we need to strive to be. Everybody talks about Barnabas. Be a Barnabas. That's a great thing. Absolutely. Be an encourager. But how about old Aaron and Hur? Are we going to see something that needs to be done, someone that needs help, and act? And so this evening, if you're not a Christian, understand we are here as the church to help guide you, to help instruct you, and share with you the gospel truth. And here's the truth. You need tonight to believe and obey the gospel. And so how do you do that? Well, first you must hear and believe the word, the message that has been presented to you. We see that in Romans 10:17 and We see it in Mark 16 and 16, hear and believe. Then you must repent of your sins. There must be change of mind and change of life. There has to be that change. You must truly repent. And then you must confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Confess that He is your Lord and Savior. Not just you, but everyone before you had made that great confession. Peter, Paul, all of them confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But it doesn't stop there. We must be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. Baptism is essential. When we are put in that water, we are being buried. Our old life being put to death. And the blood of Christ washes over us. And as we are raised out of the water in the likeness that Christ was raised from the grave, we are now walking in newness of life. You are walking in newness of life. But it doesn't stop there. The hard part begins. You must remain faithful. And that means full commitment, full devotion to God, to His Word, to make sure you're living obediently, that you are fulfilling all of His commands in your life. Or if you are a Christian that is struggling, that needs help, that needs support, don't hold. Don't try to hide it. Let the church tonight help you, assist with you, pray for you, encourage you, lift you up. And be the church that acts when someone asks for help. So if you're here this evening and you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.